Shavua Tov. It truly is a schut to be here and to open up the Chvod HaChsanya. So thank you, Rabbi Blau, not only for opening up the shul, but really the entire community to have the opportunity and the schut, the privilege to learn together this morning and to highlight not only what we learned from Sarah Imenu, but ultimately, as Rabbani Pina said, what the foundations of our nation are, how we see the matriarchal and for that moment also the patriarchal personalities that set the tone for what Am Yisrael are all about. Chazal telling us, Maaseh Avot Siman Labanim, Kol Ma She'ira La'Avot Siman Labanim. Anything that the Avot and Imahot did and their personalities themselves already established a certain track, a certain trail, and a pattern of behavior that we're supposed to model ourselves after. But I'd like to begin by really thanking everyone for giving up their Sunday morning, or I should say, for enhancing their Sunday morning by coming here and learning Torah together. Gana, so thank you for our family members, and students, Gana, Chavirot, Talmidot, who really are just extended family, to see parents of students, and to have the schut to also learn from peers. And I want to thank you, Eliza, not only for teaching a tremendous amount this morning, but for establishing the foundations of what Sarah and the Sarah-Abraham pair really is all about. And now to Bezrat Hashem dovetail a little with some of the ideas that you mentioned as we then develop this to the sacrifice of Sarah Imenu. So we're going to get started not only by learning the story, but trying to appreciate the story in context. And as we know, it's not only about appreciating one's moods, one persona in Tanakh, but trying to understand the uniqueness of each one and what they have to teach us through the various stories that surround that personality. So when we look at Sarah Imenu, automatically, as Eliza said, and as we saw through the various psukim and the parshanim, and certainly the midrashim, we see Sarah through the life of Abraham Avinu. And therefore, let's take a look at the life of Abraham. Let's understand the various stories. And I think that the last midrash, the midrash of Mehecha Ba, where is Abraham Avinu coming from in order to eulogize Sarah, is really based on Chazal's sensitivity to the structure of the Abraham Avinu stories. So we begin with the beautiful chayas, and based on the Greek word chayas, meaning an X, seeing that the most dominant structure within Tanakh, namely the chiastic A, B, C, D, E climaxing in the middle of the stories of Abraham, also serving as a transition point, and then understanding the inclusio, the development of all the stories. So we began in last week's parsha, if you remember, Abraham not just being told Lech Lecha, but really this thing after Parshat Noah, where Abraham is first introduced in a very similar way where we found the descendants of Noah introduced. Just like Noah has three sons, Ela Toldot Noah, Shem, Ham, Yafet. Shem who will be selected, Ham who will be rejected, Yafet who's going to ultimately be included, Yafiyoto Shel Yafet Vo'alo Shel Shem. So too, the stories of Abraham begin, Ela Toldot Terach, and here of Abraham, who in the ensuing Sukkim will be the selected one. We hear of Haran, who will be rejected, never to be heard from again. And we hear of Nahor, whose own children and grandchildren are going to be integrated within the family of Abraham. And immediately after, Lech Lecha, Me'artecha, Mimoladecha, Mibeit Avicha, Ela Aretz Asher Arecha. Abraham is being implored by God to sacrifice his entire past, to relinquish his heritage, to give up on his father's place, his home. Why? For the sake of a beautiful future. And as one already looks, we're going to see how the stories not only begin with the Lech Lecha, but end with the Lech Lecha. But before we do, as soon as Abraham is willing to sacrifice his past for the sake of a future, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and not only does he not see a bright future, but there's a famine in the land, a famine that leads him further down south to Mitzrayim, to the breadbasket of the ancient Middle East. That's where Abraham tells Sarai, Achotihi, say that you're my sister. She's taken by Taro, only to be discovered to be the wife of Abraham, whereby he's going to shower him with gifts that lead to a tremendous amount of property growth for Abraham, but ultimately dissonance between himself or his shepherds and the shepherds of Lot, and thereby separating from his anticipated progeny from Lot himself. And then Abraham saves Lot through active warfare, through an ambush. And then we have another active covenant that comes up, gripping Hatzarim,
Hashem tells and promises Abraham that he's going to be involved in the evolvement of Jewish history, and the descendants of Abraham will in fact conquer the land, Abraham's given the promise of the Eretz, of Eretz Israel. And in the middle of all these stories, whereby Abraham has clearly been in the spotlight, we hear of a very strange story right in the middle. A story not of Abraham, but actually, as Eliza shared with us beautifully, the story of a conflict between Sarai and Hagar that leads to the birth of, not Yitzhak, but Ishmael. Well, let's continue for a moment just to underscore how this is in fact the transition point in the stories of Abraham, because immediately after the story, we have another bridge, we have another covenant, this time, Brit Milah, the covenant not of the land, but of the nation. Abraham will become the father of many nations. And then another Abraham Lot story. This time, Abraham saves Lot, not through moving and not through active warfare, but actually staying in a dormant position, petitioning God through tefillah. And then another story of the famine. And this clearly seems to be deja vu in Abraham Avinu's life, wherein Abraham again goes down south, not as far down as Mitzrayim, but to the area of Brar, Be'er Sheva. Again, an Achotihi story. Sarah is taken by Abimelech this time, and the story ends with Abraham separating, or really casting Ishmael out of his home, only to end with another Lech Lecha. And as we paid attention in this past week's parsha to the last Aliyah, and we heard by Hi Achar Hadvarim Ha'eleh, Velukim Nisat Abraham, Vayomer Elav Abraham, Vayomer Hineni, Vayomer, Hach Ne'et, Bimcha, Et Yechitcha, Asher Ahavta, what resonates is the same meter that we heard with Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, Mimoladetcha, Mibeit Avicha. And we hear the same words, V'lech Lecha, El Eretz Amoriah, V'aleu Sham La'ola, Alecha, Harim, Asher Omar Elecha. Similar to the term of El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha. And I keep thinking that when Abraham gets to this Lech Lecha, what is he hearing and what is going on in his mind, probably? Oh no, not that again. And when he does hear this Lech Lecha, this time, it's not about sacrificing his past for the sake of a wondrous future. It's about sacrificing that future that God has foretold for the sake of a big question mark. Abraham Avinu doesn't know. What am I sacrificing all this for? And as we know, the story ends with the corroboration of a shvuah, with God giving his unconditional oath to Abraham that he'll receive not only the land, but the nation. And the stories of Abraham end beautifully with the inclusio structure of Abraham within the context of his family, hearing about 12 children, basically a nation born to his pagan brother Nahor, moments after we hear about the presentation of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his one and only child, the child that remains with him, namely Yitzchak. And therefore, as we turn back, not only do we appreciate that even though Sarah may not be the dominant character in the story, these are all Abraham's stories, but then we look in the center and we see that the climactic story right in the middle is going to focus on no one but Sarah Aminu, already teaching us that not only is Sarah part of all of these stories, but this is going to be the basis for Chazal to teach us that from the very beginning of the story, Sarah is there by Abraham's side, and by the end of the stories, and not only as a partial victim in the Achotihi stories, but she's there from the beginning and the end because she is going to be the one to change the course, change the trajectory of the promises of Abraham Avinu. And perhaps this is what the last midrash that Eliza beautifully quoted, Mehechan ba, where is Abraham coming then, right after these stories? Where is he coming from to eulogize Sarah? So Chazal say, well, just look at the beginning and the end of the stories. He's either coming from the first Lech Lecha or from the last Lech Lecha. Because if Abraham is ba, if Abraham is coming, then it must be related to where he started from. Well, he started twice. The first Lech Lecha was when he had to forfeit his past, his father's home. It must be that he's coming from his father's funeral. But don't worry, the last one was Lech Lecha El Eretz HaMoriah, was when he had to sacrifice his future. So maybe he's coming to Sarah from that last sacrifice of Har HaMoriah, of the story of Akedat Yitzchak. But all the more so, when we look at the structure, we're now going to focus on this middle, the climax on what happens in the middle of the stories of Avraham Avinu that are basically going to change not only at the course of Avraham Avinu's life, but as we know, the entire trajectory of Avraham Yisrael. But if one looks at the first half of the story, not only does one get a sense that Avraham is moving, he's moving from Mesopotamia to Eretz Israel, down to Mitzrayim, slaughtering animals and walking through them. He's certainly acting in a very active manner, as opposed to the deja vu, the reestablishment or re-corroboration of all that we took in the second half of his life, which are going to be manifest in a much more passive manner. But, yeah, all the more so, when we look at the first half of the story, we recognize that Hashem has been telling Avraham over and over again, you're going to be a great nation. And the child will come from your loins. We know that the father of this great nation is going to be none other than Avraham Avinu. The challenges that Avraham Avinu has to face. And we hear of who the patriarch of this wonderful nation is going to be. But what question remains when we look at the story and have to remind ourselves that we don't necessarily know all the stories when we begin in Parakeet Aleph and Parakeet Bet? The question that should be remaining in our subconscious is, we know who the father is, but who's the mother? And who's going to be the mother of this great nation? And even if deep down, we know, well, it has to be Sarah Imenu, because HaNefesh Asher Asufa Charan. Sarah is involved from the very beginning, but we don't know that. The Pesukim don't highlight Sarah's role until we get to Perek Tzadik. So that's what we're going to continue to explore together. But first, as we take a look at how Chazal understand the story, we know that the stories of Sarah Imenu aren't just going to appear when within the context of Avraham Avinu's stories as the climactic moment, but rather Chazal say this story of Sarah, and not necessarily Perek Tzadik, but make sure that you remember the story of Sarah on an annual basis. For Chazal established that when do we read about Sarah Imenu? Not just in Parshiyot Lech Lecha, and not just in Vayera, and not just even this coming week's Parsha Chayei Sarah, where she really doesn't appear as a character in as much as the focus of Avram's activities post her passing. But we know that we read the stories of Sarah Imenu also on Rosh Hashanah. And the question is why? So we begin on source number one on page two with the Braita of Rabbi Eliezer, who debates with Rabbi Yoshua why or what happened on Tishrei. Rabbi Eliezer says, "V'tishrei nevraha olam, v'tishrei nolgu avot, v'tishrei metu avot. V'pesach nolad Yitzchak, v'rosh Hashanah nifgeda Sarah Rachel v'chana." We know that Rabbi Eliezer is debating with his Bar Plukta, his contemporary Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, with regard to what is the more important date, what is the beginning Abba of the world. Rabbi Eliezer, who maintains that everything significant began on Rosh Hashanah, in Tishrei time, whereas Rabbi Yeshua believes, no, Pesach time, Nisan, that's really the beginning. And obviously, they're converging with regard to what should be the focus of how we look at the world. Is the focus through the lens of the particular nature of God's involvement in Am Yisrael? Namely, do we see everything as beginning in Nisan time, the involvement and the onset of a relationship between Hashem and the people of Israel? Or do we see it as part of a universal picture of Hashem's involvement in the entire world that began with the creation of the world in Tishrei? So Rabbi Eliezer espouses the latter approach and explains that everything really started in Tishrei. As a matter of fact, the Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah, Nifgeda Sarah Rachel and Chana, that the matriarchs of Am Yisrael all conceived at the time of Rosh Hashanah, and even if Yosef and other stories of Mitzrayim may have occurred in Nisan, but Yosef, actually the first emancipation from incarceration, happens on Rosh Hashanah, and that's also when the bondage of Am Yisrael ceased. And if in Tishrei has a lot began, then in Tishrei, Atidin Lihigael. And that's what's going to happen for the future as well. So Chazal continues to ask, how does Rabbi Eliezer know this? How do we know that on Rosh Hashanah, Nifgeda, Sarah, Rachel, Bechana? It's so beautiful. Everyone should be as excited to learn Torah. And sure enough, Nena Chazal explained, Rabbi Eliezer says, Atyas Kida, Kida, Atyas Tira, Tira. And let's take a look at this very interesting law of transitive properties. Let's look at the Gzeirah Shavah, and we'll see something very interesting. We find that Chazal begin with Rachel. It says by Rachel, by Yiskor Elokim et Rachel. And by Hannah, we also have the term of by Yiskareh HaHashem. Perfect. Atia Zachira Zachira. When is the perfect time to be remembered with the verb of Zachar, to be remembered? Rosh Hashanah is Shabbaton Zichron Truah. So if one is remembered, whether it's Kana or Rachel, when were they remembered? B'yom HaZikaron, on Rosh Hashanah. Uh-oh, who's not included in this Zechira formula? Sarah. There's no mention of this verb of Hashem remembering Sarah in the Psukim, but it says by Chana, not only by Yizkarah Hashem, but Kipakat Hashem et Chana. Chana was also appointed. Chana was also remembered for the sake of conception at the same time, obviously, wherein Vayiskareha Hashem, that Hashem remembered her. And by Sarah we find the term Vahashem Pakad et Sarah. So if the Pkida of Sarah is associated with the Pkida of Chana, which is at the same time as the Zechira of Chana, then obviously when was Sarah remembered? Also on Rosh Hashanah. Now notice how Sarah seems to be almost dragged into this formula, because Chazal want to clearly show us that she is part of this Zechira, because we can't ignore not merely the miraculous remembrance of Sarah to conceive a child post-menopausal age, but certainly in order for us to appreciate the relationship and the importance of being remembered, particularly on Rosh Hashanah. And that's why, if we look at source number 3, this is going to be underscored by the halachic establishment of reading the story of Sarah on Rosh Hashanah, because even though the Tana Kama says, what should we read on Rosh Hashanah? We should definitely read the Karbanot of Parsha Pinchas B'Chodesh HaShvi'i, and we should also read the Haftorah, the selection of the Nevi'im, HaBen Yakir Li'Ephraim. We should read about Rachel Nevaka Albaneha. But B'yesh Omrim, the second opinion says, no, we should read B'Hashem Pakad Etzara, keeping in mind that once upon a time Rosh Hashanah was one day. So if it's one day, we should read about Sarah Imenu, and also the Haftorah, the selection of Chana. Va'ina de'ikatreyo may never so lucky that we have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So now we can read like everyone. And what would I expect? I'd expect to hear that exact order. So on the first day, read like the Tana Kama, read the Karbanot, read about Rachel Imenu, and on the second day, Sarah and Chana respectively. And yet, what do Chazal tell us? Yom HaKama, no, the most important readings, the first day readings, you read like the Yesh Omrim, telling us that really, out of all these readings, what is essential? Vashem HaKad Etzara. That is going to be the focus. That's what we're going to start. The entire zeitgeist, the spirit of Rosh Hashanah, is going to begin with the story of Sarah Imenu. And then you'll read the Haftorah of Chana, and on the next day, Lamachar, only then do we hear, almost as an afterthought, also read the Lekim Nisan of Abraham. Read the story of the Akedah and the Haftarah of Haben Yakir Li'Ephraim, of Rachel crying for her children over the course of generations. And this, as we know, is exactly what we do, highlighting that the story of Sarah is central. Central not just to Rosh Hashanah, but central to our entire focus of understanding Hashem's involvement in our lives. So with this, we're obviously going to turn now not to the story yet of Hashem HaKad Etzara, but as we mentioned, the background of the story, which is really the middle story of Avraham Avinu, Perek Tzayin, source number 4. The Sarai Ishet Avraham Lo Yalgalo, Velash Et Hamitzrit Bishma Hadar. And again, I want to thank Aliza for this way. I don't have to explain everything, because she did such a wonderful job. So we're going to start with Sarai, who has not yet given birth to Avraham. That's how she sees it. Sarai lo yaldalo, v'lash of hamitzrit u'shma hadar. Vatomer Sarai el Avraham, hinena atzarani Hashem yiledet, bona el shifati, ulai ibane mimena, v'yishma Avraham l'kol Sarai. Sarai here is going to be not only the initiating character, but she's the one to whom Avram is going to listen and ultimately obey. And what is it that she suggests? She says, Hineina atzarani Hashem yiledet. You know, it's not by chance. She doesn't merely say, I don't have children. She says, God is involved in my life, and God obviously has stopped me from having children. Bona el shivchati. Almost as if Sarah is waiting and wondering, and after hearing the promises of Abraham, after hearing and experiencing all the different challenges of a famine and being taken by a king and having his life and risking his life for the sake of her own brother Lot, Sarah recognizes, wait a second, God keeps promising Abraham all these wondrous promises of having a great nation, and yet I have not conceived. It must be that I'm supposed to do something. I recognize that God doesn't want me to be the one to conceive, so what shall I do? Instead of remaining passive, instead of waiting around, she then turns to Abraham and says, I'm going to do something. I am going to give you my shivcha, ulai ibaneh mimena. And notice even a little hint of skepticism in her own tone. Ulai ibaneh mimena. I don't know 100% if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me, but maybe, then if I give you my shivcha, maybe through my maidservant, I'll be able to raise the child. In addition to the fact that Hagar grew up in her home and in fact did learn the values of Sarah and Abraham, at the same time she says, maybe almost as a surrogate mother, I'll be involved in his life. Ulai. She's not 100% sure, because ultimately she is going to forfeit her own status in the family for the sake of the possibility of the future. I'm not really sure what Hashem wants for me, but maybe this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And as Eliza said beautifully, what Sarah Imenu is ultimately doing is not merely sacrificing her own status in the family, because we know, certainly during ancient times, that whoever the mother of the first child, the first son would be, she becomes known as the Gvira, the head mother, which means that Sarah is forfeiting her status as the head wife of the family. But it's more than that. What else is she sacrificing? She's sacrificing her role as matriarch. That means that if, in fact, a child is born to Avram, then that child will inherit Avram Avinu. And even if she does miraculously have a child thereafter, that child won't necessarily be the Bechor. He won't inherit the promises. And Sarah is willing to sacrifice it all. Basically, if one thinks about this, Sarah is willing to sacrifice her entire future for the sake of the fulfillment of the promises of Hashem to Avraham Avinu. She's willing to undergo what we can call now her own Akedah. Just like Avraham, in a few chapters from now, will be called upon by God to sacrifice his entire future for Hashem, so too Sarah does it. But the difference is that Hashem never even came to her. She, of her own initiative, is willing to undergo the sacrifice. And if we just fast forward a few pakim and take her brashit, one can contrast Sarah's ideological motive with Rachel's, and one can say much more self-focused motive, because Rachel, when she sees that she doesn't get children, she's jealous of her sister, recognizing that Yaakov already has children, and Yaakov will then be able to continue and through the progeny to perpetuate the promises of Hashem of raising a great nation. But she turns to Yaakov Avinu and says, give me children for self-realization, for self-actualization. That's what I need. And therefore, she convincingly gives Bilha to Yaakov, Batilet al Berkai, V'ibaneh gam anochi mimena. She says, this isn't about anything ideological. This isn't about creating a nation. This is for me, Ibaneh. If I give you the surrogate mother, then I'll be able to raise the child somewhat as my own. Ibaneh, it's not ulai Ibaneh, because they have different reasons and different motives. Sarah isn't 100% sure if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but she's going to try. And that's why the Radak points out right here that when we hear of Avraham Avinu leaving already, Lech Lecha, Me'artacha, Me'moladacha, and that this is Sarah, not just in this story, but he reads from this story back to Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Yud Bet. It must be that when Hashem said, Lech Lecha Mi'artzecha, Sarah Imenu said, of course I'm going with you. And I don't know what the climate is in Eretz Yisrael. And I don't know what type of lands. And I don't know if we're going to have a job in Eretz Yisrael. But ki be'ava uvratzon yatza min ha'aretz im ba'ala lasot ripzo hakel. Lo shehechmicha ba'ala. Avraham Avinu didn't force her. They did this together. She did this of her own initiative, explains the Radak. Ella b'chol liba halcha achar ba'ala. Ella makom asher amar lo hakel. And how does the Radak know this? That Sarai Avinu must have found willingly. Because he looks at this parak and he sees, look at Sarai. Sarai is willing to forfeit her entire future, ulai ibanem imena, for the sake of the promises of Hashem. So of course, if Hashem gave a promise back in Perek Yud-Bet, Sarai is on board. Akal pisha lo yada ha'aretz. She had no idea what the land would look like. Hatovahi imra'a, ki eshet Avram, haitza ve'emunat hakel lahamin, kol asher yomar la b'shem hakel, v'lasot v'tzom. Not Sarai. And the truth is that even if we take this one message with us, that's enough to learn from Sarah. That's why, again, as Elisa said beautifully, again, we relate to all the Imahot, and there certainly is what for us to learn from each one of the Avot and the Imahot. But what we see from Sarai more than anyone else is this level of devotion, of self-sacrifice, of really putting herself, her future, her own persona, and self-realization, and personal dreams aside for the dreams that really matter to her. And those are the national dreams. Those are the dreams and the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Avraham Avinu, that Sarah sees herself as facilitating every step along the way. But let's continue further. As we go back to the story, back to source number 6. Vatikach Sarai, please.
Sorry, Judge. So how do you handle the Jibdu of Ulai Ivan? Mary says Ulai Ivan, beautiful, and on the road.
Excellent. Because Sarai says this way, I will be built up, even though she recognizes at the same time that she's forfeiting her status, what will she do? I'll build up another aspect of myself. Now, is she really convinced that she's going to raise this child of the maidservants? It's not real surrogacy. Right? No, it's going to be the maidservant's child. So if he even then
built up, right?
That's
the
time.
The Shvatim are, they're 12.
And that's right. And even by the Shvatim, does Rachel actually end up raising even Bilhah's children? Now she gives them a name. Mm-hmm. And also tells us that there is greater interaction, whereas by Ishmael, does Sarai have anything to do with the naming, with the raising? We see none, and we're going to enhance this further in the ensuing Prakim. But the question then is, what is Ibanet? What is she really thinking? So now we understand that God says, beautiful, but the Ulai tells us that she's thinking of building herself up in a very different way than Rachel. Not through raising the child, but rather through allowing Abraham to have a child. Through allowing Abraham, Ibanet, what will that do to me? That will be my goal. I will be the facilitator for the promises of Hashem to Abraham. What do you think of that? Incredibly self-sacrificing. And that's why I really, when I think of Sarah Imenu, I think, Mama Rachel, we can relate to Rachel Imenu. Again, Aleya, Rivka, again, the tensions. Sarah Imenu on a pedestal beyond. But let's see. Even at Sarai's, Ulai Ibanem Imena, doesn't necessarily turn out exactly how she anticipated. So let's continue with the story. Vatitenu Tala Ram Isha Lo Isha. One should recognize that this pasuk seems to be somewhat redundant. Not only did we hear in pasuk bet that she said already, go to my shivcha ulai ibanem imena vayishma Avram lekol Sarai. Why do we need another verse to say that Avram gives Hagar, that Sarai gives Hagar as an isha, lowly isha? So the Radak points out not only that Sarai wanted to make sure that he would have a zera. And im yelacha mishpachti ben achashevoto ki'ilu b'ni yeli k'ben, that this way we will really be seen almost as an extension of myself as a child. But let's turn the page and see not only what Rashi, but source number 11, the Ramban. The Ramban points out that we have to hear
that initially she thought, I'll give my maidservant. But then she realized, if I give my maidservant as a wife, then what will be the status of the child? He'll be half the son of Abram and half the son of a maidservant. And in fact, we know from Mesopotamian law, the Code of Hammurabi, that if a child is not a full-fledged child, if he's a half a slave, does he have the rights of the inheritance? No. And therefore Sarai said, I want to make sure that this child inherits Abram Avinu. In order to do that, I have to promote the Shivcha Mitzrit, this Egyptian slave woman, to full status as wife to Abram Avinu. And that's in fact what happened. So much so that Rashi explains, Ezra, Eliza beautifully said, that when Sarai then will turn to Abraham and say, look at what's happened. And now she is going to turn and say to him, Vayavo al Hagar, and when Batekal Berta Be'inaha, Sarai turns and says, Chamasi alacha. Wait a second, Abraham. This isn't the way that it was supposed to happen. An injustice happened over here. I thought I would promote her as wife, and it would be clear that, and through my facilitation, through my enabling her to give you a child, that I would still be seen as part of this picture. But she's been demoting me, and I'm not part of the picture anymore. And this is wherein she accosts Abraham, Chamasi alecha. There's an injustice here, and she brings Hashem into the picture. Yishvot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Why did you only daven for yourself and you didn't daven for me? What's my role going to be? But let's continue now with the story. And as Abraham says, okay, she's your shivcha. You may have changed her status with regard to me as a wife, but she still is your maidservant. So Hagar, after being oppressed by Sarai, will run off, and a malach is going to appear to her by Ein Hamayim Bamidbar. Pasuk Zayin in source number 6. Vayomer, when you find her by the ayin, Vayomer Hagar shivchat Sarai eini zavat va'ana telechi vatomer mipnei Sarai givrti anochi borachat. She still does see Sarai as her master. Vayomer la malach Hashem, excellent. Shuvi al givrteh, mitani tachat yadeha. As long as you still see Sarai as part of the picture, as long as you see Sarai as the givret, now you can go back to her. And I want you to know the following. This child, harbe arbe etzarech v'lo yisafer miro. He's going to be the father of a great nation. You're going to have a child. V'karata shimo yishma'el. Kishama Hashem alam yech, v'hu yiyya pera adam, yado v'kol v'yad kobo, v'yal pnei kol achav yishko. V'tikra shem Hashem hadobrei laha, ata el ro'i, ki amra hagam halom ra'iti acharei ro'i. Anna Hagar returns to the home after being given a divine promise by a malach. V'telet Hagar l'Abram ben, v'ikra Abram shem v'no, asher yalda Hagar yishma. By the end of this perek, we're somewhat disappointed. And I can only imagine the disappointment of Sarai at this moment. Here she thought she would be part of the picture. Here she thought that she would be the one to facilitate a nation to Avraham Avinu. And in the end, the Torah tells us a child is born not associated at all with Sarai, but rather a child is born to Hagar. And one has to remember that we don't know the ensuing stories yet. Anna, the name of the child, just as the Malach said, will be Ishmael. As a matter of fact, the Torah says that Avram is the one to name his child Ishmael, which means that Avram hears about the story of the Malach and Hagar. I can only imagine Hagar returning home, going straight to the tent of Avram Avinu, saying, guess what, Avram dear? A Malach appeared to me and said I'm going to have a child who's going to be the father of a great nation, and Yadov Kol V'yad Kolbo, he's going to be very controlling, and he's going to rule over all the other nations around him, and I should call his name Yishmael. And how do you think Abraham reacted and responded to this? Probably saying, yes, I know. Right? Hashem has been promising me a nation, and yes, you're pregnant. Yeah, now this is the child, and his name is Yishmael. Beautiful. And yet we're supposed to be thinking, wait, who is behind this? The story ends with Hagar and Abraham and Ishmael, and who's left out of the picture? The woman who started this. And if we would end the story here, the conflict between Sarai and Hagar
Anna, we would be very confused. But let's take a look at the story that appears immediately thereafter. We turn now to page 3. Anna, we see that the story continues in source number 12, Perek Yud Zayin. Now we're going to appreciate how this is the transition story. Vayehi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Teisha Shanim, 13 years go by, and God appears to Avram and says, Ani kel shakai hitalech lefanai v'ayeh amin. Continue to walk in my path, and if you do, then I'm going to give you another covenant. Not only the covenant that I've already given you of a land, but the covenant of a nation. And this covenant is going to assure that you are no longer Avram, but Avraham. You will be the father of many nations. And the proof of this is the covenant of circumcision. You will circumcise all your children when they're 8 days old, and in the meantime, circumcise everyone in your home. Anna, Avram hears about this great Pasuka Tedva. And then Elohim surprises Avraham and says, Vayomer Elohim El Avraham, Sarai ishtacha lo tekrat shema Sarai ki Sarai shema. Sarai, and that's how she was known until this point. From now on, just like your name was changed, her name is changed. Uberachti ota, v'gam natati mimena lecha ben. Uberachtiha, v'ayta legoyir malchei amin mimena yiyu. And Hashem says, wait a second, Sarai, she's now Sarah, and she is going to beget a child. And that child will be not only your progeny, that child is going to be the one through whom the values of tzedek and mishpat, the values of justice, the values and the promises that I've been giving you, they will continue through the descendants of Sarah. And the first question we have is, why didn't God just say this 13 years earlier? Why didn't God just save everyone all the trouble? And I don't just mean the personal story of the conflict between Sarai and Hagar, but certainly the course of Jewish history till modern day times. And the answer the Chizkuni tells us, if we look back at source number 10, is because you may think when the story started in Perek Tzayim, the Sarai ishat Avram lo yalda. Sarai has not, lo yalda has not given birth to Avram. In the back of your mind, the Torah is telling you, don't move. She hasn't yet given birth, but she will. Mikra zeh balo dinu shehabrit kadma lezera. You need that pasuk to tell you, don't worry. There is a brit, the covenant of the nation of Brit Milah came even before Yitzchak was there. Shelo tomar im utam u'muchar va'azera kadam lebrit. That, of course, Abraham is going to be the father of a great nation. But when you read the Perek, you should recognize that even if Sarai is going to be the mother, she's not the mother yet. Almost as if what the Torah is teaching us is, Abraham made his sacrifice. Abraham is going to be challenged by God and follow the directives of God time and time and time again. And in the meantime, though, the question mark still remains. Who's going to be the mother of this great nation? And the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is basically waiting. We don't know yet who's going to be the mother of this great nation. What is Hashem waiting for? He's waiting for a mother to do something. He's waiting for Sarai to do something. And Chazal tell us, well, she was davening. Yes, that wasn't enough. And Chazal tell us that she had a emunah that one day something would happen, but that's not enough. Perek Tzayin teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for Sarai. Was waiting for Sarai to do something on her own to merit this covenant. And in Perek Tzayin, she is going to provide the ultimate sacrifice. The sacrifice of self. The sacrifice of her own dreams for the sake of the nation of God. And immediately thereafter, even though 13 years go by, Perek Tzayin tells us, Hashem says, excellent! Now we're ready. Now Sarai is now Sarah. And she will be the mother of this great nation. We need Perek Tzayin to teach us what happened that is going to change the course of Jewish history. From knowing who the father is to now knowing what the traits of the matriarchal figures throughout the history of Am Yisrael are all about. What it means to be able, at times, to put our selfish interests aside for the sake of the desire of Hashem. And this is what we see in the continuation.
Sarai is now going to be Sarah, and beget the nation that Hashem has promised to Abram Avinu. And yet Abram, you see, doesn't even understand that. Because you would think that how should Abram respond to this when Hashem says, oh, by the way, Sarai, your wife, she is going to be a mother as well. And she will be the mother of your nation. You'd think that Abram should say something like, thank you. And yet, what is Abram Avinu's response? Vayipol Abram al panav pasuk yitzayin. Vayitzchak vayomer b'libo haladin mea shana yivalei bim Sarah habat yishim shana yivalei. I'm going to have a child now at 100 and Sarah at 90. Vayomer Abram el Elohim. And what's his initial reaction? Wait a second, I'm very confused. Lo Yishmael yachya lepanacha. Wait a second, Hashem. How about Yishmael? For the past 13 years, I was convinced that who is going to inherit me? Yishmael. And therefore, I was learning Daf Yomi with Yishmael all along. And I was teaching the values of Tzedek and Mishpat to Yishmael. And I was spending so much time with Yishmael, convinced that he's going to be the father of this covenant. And Elohim says, Aval, Sarah ishlacha yoledet l'chavet. But I just told you, it's going to be Sarah. V'karat et shmo Yitzchak, v'akimot yet miti ito v'brit olam v'zaro acharav. And don't worry about Yishmael. And then Yishmael shmaticha v'inei v'rafti oto. Remember I just told you you're going to be the father of many nations? So Yishmael is going to be one of those nations, and he'll be a great nation. But that's not the nation. The nation that will continue you is going to, in the end, come from Sarah. Why? Because of parents of Sarah. Because of what Sarah just did. And therefore, Briti Akim et Yitzchak, Asher Tilei Lecha Sarah Lamo'eh HaZeh Hishamah HaAchemet. But let's take a look at what happens right after. We, the readers of Tanakh, we, and the proponents of Sarah Imenu, we're now cheerleading this bridge. And yet, Abram Avinu has a difficult time. Vaykach Abram et Yishmael b'no. V'kol yilidei b'to, v'kol mitnach kasbo, kol zachar b'an shevet Abram, v'yimal v'sarah l'tam v'tam v'yam hazeh. Abram takes Yishmael, and how does he see him? As Yishmael b'no. And in case you're not convinced, Pasuk Hafei, the Yishmael b'no, ben shloshes reshana. Abram still sees Yishmael as the son of the Brit. And the end of the Pasuk, v'etam ayam hazeh nimol Abraham v'Yishmael b'no. Three times over, we hear about the relationship between Abram and Yishmael b'no. And this is what's highlighted in Perek Chavav, the last chapter that we're going to learn together this morning. The chapter that Chazal say, if you want to understand the message of Rosh Hashanah, and for that matter, you want to understand the message of God, remembering the mothers throughout the generations, make sure that you learn this chapter as well. And as you see from the bolded words, this chapter is going to contain numerous milim hachot, numerous leading words, namely the words of ben, and yeled, and na'ar, and zera. And at first glance, all these words seem to be synonymous. A ben is a son. A yelet is a child. A na'ar is an older child. And a zera is your seed. Aren't they all the same? No, the Torah is telling us to be sensitive to these words. What's the difference between a ben and a yelet, a son and a child? A son connotes an emotional investment. A ben is my child in whom I invest, whom I care for, whom I love. A yeled, it could be my ben, is also a child, but my next door neighbor also has a yeled. A na'ar, that's already an adolescent. He has one foot out the door. And a zera is the most technical term, merely means my seed, someone who carries the same genetic material, someone who's going to inherit me. So let's look at the story and see how Sarah's sacrifice didn't end in character diet, but continues in Perek Aleph. V'Hashem hakad et Sarah kasher amar, v'yas Hashem l'Sarah kasher diber, v'atar v'tel et Sarah l'Abraham, ben l'skunav l'mo'ed asher diber oto Elohim. This parak as well talks about having children from the perspective of Sarah. Sarah gives Abraham a ben. And even though Abraham is 100 years old, how does he relate to him? As a ben, a child that he loves. Vayikra Abram at shem b'no hanolad lo asher yelda lo Sarah Yitzchak. And when Abram names his son Yitzchak, how does he feel towards him? He's a ben. He loves him. He's emotionally invested in him. He remembers the promise of Hashem saying he's going to have a son named Yitzchak. Vayamal Avram et Yitzchak b'no ben shmonet yamim, the first child who was going to receive a proper circumcision at 8 days old. It says ben again. Vatomer Sarah, tzchok asa li Elokim, kol ha-shomea Yitzchak li, vatomer mi milel Aram, imika banim Sarah, ki yaladiti ben miskunav. Look at what I was able to do. Provide him with a ben, not just a child. Someone that he is going to be invested in. Until, pasukhat, vayigdal hayeled vayigama. At a certain point, or particularly, when Yitzchak will be weaned from his mother, Sarah, Abram stops seeing Yitzchak as a ben. And instead he begins to see him as a yeled. And he's not as invested. As a matter of fact, Vayigamal Bayas Abraham B'shvei Gadol B'yom Yigamel et, not we know, but Yitzchak. Vatera Sarah et Ben Hagar HaMitzrit Asher Yadal Abraham Yitzchak. And the story is told from the perspective of Sarah Imini. And she understands, wait a second, why is Abraham having a difficult time investing in my Ben, in my son, that just yesterday was also his Ben, and yet today is just a Yelet. And she realizes, because who is he a little more invested in? Ben, Hagar HaMitzrit, the son of Hagar. So here she thought, after the promises of Hashem, here she thought that Abraham now understood that because of her sacrifice, of course the B'rit will take place, will materialize through Yitzchak. Abraham has a difficult time, a naturally difficult time. For the past 13 years, he's been learning, he's been hunting, he's been spending time invested in Ishmael. Hashem comes one day and says, okay, now it's Yitzchak. So at the beginning, Abraham is very invested in Yitzchak. But still, Yitzchak is a pitzalach, 2-3-year-old. Who is Abraham still going to go hunting with? Who is he now up to? Rashi and Tosfot and the Ritva. And Weva and Ishmael. Pardon me, I'm not going to say. But here we see that Sarah recognizes, wait a second. The reason why it's difficult for Abraham to invest in Yitzchak is because, look at the pasuk again very carefully, she sees Ben Hagar HaMitzrit Asher Yadal Abraham Mitzachet. And Eliza alluded to the Midrashei Chazal that are bothered by this terminology. What is Ishmael doing? What is this Ben Hagar doing? He's mocking. He's aggravating Yitzchak. He's teaching him promiscuity. But the pshat is Mitzachet. Sarah recognizes that Ishmael is literally impersonating or taking over the role of Yitzchak. And therefore she turns to Abraham and she says, I know this is hard, but what should she ask him to do? Cast away Ishmael. But that's not what she asks. Here is Sarah Imenu, sacrifice number 2. Vatomer l'Abraham, Garesh ha'ama hazot ve'et benah. She basically asks Abraham not to choose between sons, perhaps because she knows that there really is a possibility that Abraham may choose Ishmael. What is she asking Abraham? Don't choose between sons, choose between wives. Garish ha'ama ve'epina, because if you don't cast out the ama and her son, then I'm not going to have a boy. Ki lo yirash ben ha'ama hazot in the meaning. Who's it going to be at? And I can't imagine that Abraham would not have chosen Sarai. But look at Sarai Inu once again. Willing to put her life, her identity, her future on the line, convinced that she is the one who must facilitate the fulfillment of the B'ritot of Hashem to Abraham Avinu. Abraham, what's it going to be? The Amma and her son, or me and my son? Vayirah Devar Melavinei Abraham Aladot B'no. Of course he's going to choose Sarah, but he's still bothered by his Ben. And which Ben is this referring to? Look at the next pasuk. Hashem comes and says, Ayirah Beinecha Al Hana'ar, referring to Ishmael. Abraham really is at this stage more invested in Ishmael. And therefore Hashem has to come and say, Kol Asher Tomar Eilacha Sarah Shema Bekula, Ki Biyetcha Ki Karei Lo Chazara. But Sarah's right, going back to Perek Tzion. Sarah's right by understanding that at times, Avram, then you have to be willing to sacrifice for the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Sarah's right. It's time for you to detach yourself from Yishmael and look at him as a na'ar, and not as even as a yelid, and certainly not as a ben. Because even though Zarachahu Yishmael will also be a great nation, he'll survive, he'll be wonderful, Abraham. But Yitzchak Yikarei Lachazara. Let's take a look at the final part of the story. Vayashkem Abraham Baboker, Vayichlechem Abahamayim, Vayichim Abagar Zama Shachma, Vayichayelet. He's able to detach himself from Yishmael, not as a na'ar, only as a yelet. Vayishalchah Batilach Hatzata Vemidbar Ve'er Sheva. Vayichlu Hamayim Imachemet. And take a look at what happens now. A beautiful contrast we're going to see between Sarah Imenu and Hagar. That same conflict that we saw back in Perek Tzion, who is going to be the mother? Let's see who acts more like a mother. Who is willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of her child? Hagar sees her son Yishmael dehydrating. And what does she do? She casts the child away. And she turns off her emotional channel. She can't even look at him as her son. She casts him off as the yelid, tachat achat sifu, under one of the bushes. Batelach batashav la minedet hachet kemetachavei kashet. And notice how the Torah describes this action. It's almost as if she's distancing herself, an archer's distance, teaching us that she's passively killing her child as an archer. Ki amra el arev emota yelid. Because selfishly, I can't see this child dying. And this is horrific for her, and she cries. But Pasuk Yudayim tells us that those cries are not the cries that Hashem listens to. Because those aren't sincere cries of a mother. Because a mother would never abandon her child in need. Because a mother doesn't cast a ben away as a yelid. God didn't hear Hagar's cries, but rather the cries of Yishmael. Vayikram malach Elokim al Hagar min ha-shamayim vayomer la, malach Hagar, al tibi, ki shamei Elokim et kol ha-na'ar v'asher v'sham. God heard the na'ar who's all the way over there. What's he doing over there? Kumi si et ha-na'ar v'chazik et yadech bo ki legoi gadol asimenu. So go, pick up Yishmael's hands, because he's going to survive. And she sees water, and instead of running to her son, first she runs to the water. And when she gives her son the water, it doesn't say Batash et Bena. She no longer sees him as her son. Rather, Batash et Bena. She gives it to him as an adolescent, feeling the detachment and the indifference. Vayhi Elokim et Hana'ar vayitel vayishev bamidbar vayhi rovat hashet. Notice then, almost they anticipated what happens when someone is treated as a victim of an archer. He himself becomes the archer. Anna Hagar, recognizing that she is no longer the maternal figure in her own son Yishmael's life, but tikach lo imo isha me'eretz Mitzrayim. She replaces that maternal, that dominant figure, with a wife for Yishmael. But the point of the story is to serve clearly as an antithesis, as a contrast between the mother Sarah, Sarah Imenu, and Hagar, who doesn't treat her child then as a mother does. She looks at him as a na'ar and a yelid, and not as a ben. And what the Torah is telling us through these stories is look back at Perek Tzion. What is going to transform the future of Jewish history? Who is the mother going to be? Perek Tzion. There's a conflict. We're not sure where the genetic material is going to come from. We're not sure. Who is going to inherit Abraham? We're not sure. Who, in fact, will be the mother? Until Sarah sacrifices her matriarchal status, until Sarah sacrifices her parents, until Sarah puts her own persona aside, and then Hashem says, she's the mother. And she's the mother who remains the mother and will put her life and future on the line time and time again, not just for her son, but for the sake of the future of Am Yisrael. And that's why Chazal explained, as the Netziv highlights in Source 14, Avram haya gadol b'nevuah m'Sarah. Avram may have received prophecy on a higher level than Sarah Imenu, aval beruach hakodesh hayta Sarah mitzuyenet yoter me'Avram Avinu. Beruach hakodesh, divine inspiration, that sense almost of intuition of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, even without nebuah, even without telling me, Sarah figured it out. V'asivah lezeh mishnei ta'amim. And then Ziv offers two explanations. He says, Avram, you have to remember, is the iconoclast of his generation, is a universal leader teaching values of monotheism, and therefore he's involved with the world, umadricham la'avodat Hashem, and he's called an asi elokim in Parshat Chayei Sarah. So with all of his dealings with others, he never had the time or the opportunity to truly listen to what perhaps even his own voice. He didn't have time. Eino yachol leitboded kol kach. Mash'im came Sarah. Sarah Imenu was in her tent. Sarah sat b'kdusha b'tahara. Sarah understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. And where did this come from? De'ein ruach HaKodesh chal ela mitoch simcha. And Sarah did this all with happiness. This is the righteousness of Sarah. Shehaita b'munata b'mitachon chazak ma'or. Na'ala k'mo shemabuar mena ibreshit rabba. Shamra Sarah l'Avraham Avinu. You know, Abraham, that you're going to be the father because God told you, God promised, it was explicit. How do I know what I have to do to be the mother? Because I have a mother. And that's what told me what qualifies Sarah as the mother of Am Yisrael. And the story doesn't really end in Parshat Vayera, but continues as we know in Parshat Chayei Sarah. The irony of Avram coming to deliver a hesped for Sarah, and immediately thereafter, as we hear, Chayei Sarah, what does Avram do? After her death, Abraham now says, now I have to do something. Without God even telling me, what is that legacy of Sarah Imenu? To know how to be willing to sacrifice for the sake of the fulfillment of the promises of Hashem? So wait a second, Hashem has given me two promises. The promise of a land, Ritmi Hatarim, and the promise of a nation, Ritmi Lam. So Sarah Imeno will inspire me to do something on my own to ensure the fulfillment of those promises. So immediately after the death of Sarah, Avraham perpetuates her legacy by on his own ensuring the fulfillment of the promise of the land by purchasing the first land in Eretz Yisrael, Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, and then the very next story of Parshat Chayei Sarah, ensuring the fulfillment of the promise of the nation by finding his son a wife. And when his son does find a wife, he brings her in by Yenachem Yitzchak Acharei Imo. He's finally consoled after the passing of his mother. And the Radak explains beautifully, why do we even have to hear then the term Vayahaveha, that he loves his wife? Doesn't everyone love their wife, says that, the Radak? Ki rov b'nei adam ohavim nishotehem. Most men do love their wives. But we have to hear, ki ahava ahava yitzera l'tarim tovim shenim suva. What did Yitzchak love? He loved the fact that Rivka consoled him for his mother. Acharei shehaya mitabel alimo, v'apopi shehaya kvar shalosh shamim shenatam shelakach Rivka, adayim haya mitabel alimo. And Chazal tell us the blessings of the anan, of the challah, of the nair, of the candle returned when Rivka was brought into the tent, but the Radak adds, "Umetnachem b'Rivka, shaita tova ki'imo." But Rivka had that same quality as its mother. And I believe that that's the quality of Jewish motherhood throughout the generation. We read particularly on Rosh Hashanah, the story of the sacrifice of Sarah, to remind us all, at the time of Yom HaDin, that we all are judged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and at times have to be willing to sacrifice for the sake of God. I often tell students, and I begin out the year by asking them, what are they struggling with in Judaism? What are the difficulties that they have and their avodat Hashem? And each one will mention and the struggle. And I say, think of Sarah Imenu, who certainly struggled every step along the way. And she did this because she understood and what they have to hold the Hashem are on them. And that's why we call avodat Hashem avodat Hashem. It's a struggle. It's hard work. If it would be so easy, then we wouldn't call it avodat. Sarah reminds us what the value of the sacrifice is, what it means to facilitate the brichot that have to hold to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the emunah and the simcha.
very, very much. Thank you all for coming. Again, 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to have another week. We didn't perform into the stock law. Thank you very much.